Welcome to another edition of Bible Truths. My name is Chris Menser. I'm part-time evangelist for the 8th Street Church of Christ. If you would, take out your Bibles and open up to the Old Testament and Job chapter 7, and we'll look at that in just a few minutes. I want to thank you again for tuning in and giving me the opportunity to come into your homes and preach to you a lesson from God's Word, and I hope that you are encouraged by the lessons you hear every single week. We're not doing this, of course, for profit or anything, but just to give you what God has given us freely of His own will in His Scriptures. Now, today I want to talk about the subject of the brevity of life. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the writer there says, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." A lot of people do not realize that funerals are actually for the living and not for the dead. I mean, yes, we do have funerals for a person who has passed away, and we come there to memorialize them, to remember their life here on earth, but the dead person does not benefit from the service. Instead, the living does. It's for family, friends, and loved ones to reflect on their own lives in addition to the person who passed away and what they did with their life, but also to look at their own lives and to see what they've done with it so far. Perhaps it will give them an opportunity to make changes to their own lives for the future. Because it's unknown how long we have left here on the earth. Not everybody is going to die on the very same day or in the very same age limit. Anywhere from birth to old age, anybody could die and we never really know. The scriptures teach that we have two appointments to keep, as stated in Hebrews 9:27. We die and then we face the judgment. But while we live, we have to decide what is important to us. And that's where we begin our lesson in Job chapter 7. Let's look at the first seven verses to describe why life is considered short. In Job 7, starting with verse 1, it says, "Is there not a time of hard service for man on earth, and are not his days also like the days of a hired man? Like a servant who earnestly desires the shade, and like a hired man who eagerly looks for his wages. So I have been allotted months of futility, and wearisome nights have been appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be ended? For I have had my fill of tossing till dawn. My flesh is caked with worms and dust. My skin is cracked and breaks out afresh. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and my days are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good." Now, in regards to that weaver's shuttle, if you're familiar with the task of weaving, they have what is called a loom, in which people make rugs or hanging rugs and stuff. And a shuttle is just a little wooden piece that passes back and forth underneath to make the rug. And let's say, for example, that one pass of that shuttle is the equivalent of one day. Therefore, then one rug would be the equivalent of one's total lifetime. Let's look at some examples of people who have lived for a really long time. From the Bible, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 27, the oldest living recorded man is that of Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years old. More recently, an individual by the name of Jeannie Calmette from France, she lived to be 122 and died in 1997. Currently, the oldest living individual is a person by the name of Juroemon Kimura from Japan, and she is currently 116 years old. But if you look at it from the standpoint of the age of the earth, it is still very brief. If you turn with me to the New Testament in James chapter 4, we know that life is also referred to as a vapor. James chapter 4, starting at verse 13, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." We know that The Bible says a lot of things in regards to life and even in regards to death. Let's go back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 90, verses 10 and 12, the discussion of labor and sorrow. In Psalm 90, starting at verse 10, it says, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we might gain a heart of wisdom." Supposing that our life involves around mostly work and worry, what exactly do we gain? We don't really gain much of anything, but we know that there is more to life than just work and worry. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 27, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" Another example in this is the fact that life is a humbling experience. In Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4, it says there, "Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow." A lot of times people can't comprehend completely the size of the universe and all the planets and all the different cosmos that are out there. So many people are out there looking for life on other planets and other worlds and want to be considered not alone in this world, and yet they don't realize that we are alone in the universe. The point of this is the fact that God shows his great majesty in creating all these stars, all these universes, all these other planets to show how great he is and how little and insignificant we are in comparison. Yet, God takes notice of us in spite of our quick expiration date. There must be something of value to our life, and so we should live it as best as we can for that. We are worth more than just being insignificant. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31, Jesus says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are more valued than many sparrows." The question then is, why are we here? Looking at things from a worldly view, we look at people go for materialism, things that they want to own, you know, the house, fancy car, mansion, if you will, or even take these luxurious vacations. Fame, go out of their way for their 15 minutes of fame to become a star, maybe even take on a reality series. Or power, climbing up the ladder of success at their job to become CEO or head of a company. Or even wealth, to amass such a thing like winning the lottery. But all these things are, people go on life without a care in the world. All these things really mean nothing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 through 29, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it would also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." It shows then that materialism really isn't all that it's cracked up to be. If you turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the apostle writes, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." That basically says all the things that we own as far as materialistic things are just temporary. They're going to all dissolve in the end of time, and there will be worth nothing to us in the afterlife. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, The apostle has this to say in regards to that, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It shows again, as we said, materialism is just a temporary thing, because all of it will be burned up in the end. Next we want to look at then is the unearthly view of life, and that first is obedience to God. Matthew chapter 7, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount, verses 24 through 27, Jesus says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Basically, if we do what Jesus says and abide by it and obey him, then we can stand in the final days. But if we don't do what he says, then we will surely fall. A given unearthly view also gives us a security for the afterlife. If you turn with me into 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll look at verses 5 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 5. This is a security for the afterlife. It's written there, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." The bottom line to this, though, is stated in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, which states, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Everything that we've done here on the earth will be brought into account on the day of judgment. And the Apostle Paul says similar in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. In the meantime, what we need to do then is to redeem the time that we have here on earth. And we do that first by stop wasting our time, because we get no second chances after we are dead. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, it is written there, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." In John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, "To work while it is day, for when night comes, no man will be able to work." We also want you to not to delay. We encourage you, if you are a young member of the church or even an unchurched member, if you are a teenager or younger, to start out your life as a Christian, as a youth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1, preacher there writes, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Behold, the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them." But we ask you also to start now and not tomorrow. There are those, of course, who think that since they are no longer younger, they have no chance of becoming a Christian. And that's not true. Even people who are 80, 85, even 90 years old can start their life as a Christian right now. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." As they say, don't put off tomorrow the things that you can do today. And that's just not a phrase or a saying to throw out there. It is the truth, because we may not get a tomorrow. The opportunity you have today, while it is still today, is your opportunity to do all that you can for the betterment of your life and for the betterment of the afterlife, should you become a Christian. But as we stated in James chapter 4 and verse 14, life is nothing but a vapor. Finally then, let's look at a life of daily renewal. If you then become a Christian, we need to help you get a better perspective on your life. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. The Apostle Paul there writes, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I am now wearing bifocals eyeglasses from the last time you've seen me. As of this recording, I've only had them for about a week, but this is something that is now a part of my life because at my age, my eyes do need a little help in seeing things. So that is a part of the deterioration of the outer man. But the inner man of mine is being renewed day by day as I continue to preach the gospel to you and continue to study the scriptures so that I can bring God's word to those around us. Another thing we need to do in regards to this is to be prepared. And we take and do that by looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll look at verses 1 through 7. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul goes on to say that we need to set our mind. "If then you are being raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not the things here on the earth." Before we leave what is called the house of mourning, when you leave a funeral, we need you to study your own life and to see if you're going to make changes for the better. Perhaps you will have a clearer thought on what your life will be like. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, this verse should give us a help in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5, there it writes, Paul writes, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, do not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified." Basically, what we need to do is on a day-to-day basis, we need to see that we are indeed members of Christ's body, if we are indeed Christians, and we do that by examining our lives and the way we live them and put it up against the foundation or the standard, which is the Holy Scriptures. If our life is not according to the Scriptures, then we need to repent of those things, which is sin, and to ask for forgiveness and to align ourselves properly with what the Scriptures teach us as to what our life is. Finally, we look at the fact that if we are prepared for the afterlife, then we shall receive treasure in heaven. Going back to Matthew chapter 6, again, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, looking at verses 19 through 21. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." In conclusion, then, we ask that you be not anxious for your life. Let's move on down to saying in Matthew chapter 6, move on down to verse 25. This is something we had looked at earlier, and we're going to look at the rest of the passage. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Therefore Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these, going on to verse 32, for after all these the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that ye need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things shall be added unto you. We ask that you start your change now. As we stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We have a phone number available for you that you can call and talk to somebody concerning your life, your soul, and where you are in regards to God's holy word. If there is an opportunity, we ask that you come down to the church building at 8th Street Church of Christ and study with us. We're there on Sundays and Wednesdays evenings. Help us to help you get a better understanding of what the scriptures say and what they mean for you, so that you might have a better life before the end of your life and the end of the afterlife comes along. So in conclusion, we need to look at the truths that the Bible states. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. If Jesus has the authority, then men have none. We have to abide by what Jesus teaches us. Jesus calls sinners to repentance. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, it says, come unto me, all that you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, in Mark 16:16, Jesus says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And finally, we need to follow what Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Following the plan of salvation, hearing God's word, to believe Jesus Christ, to confess his name, to repent of your sins, to be baptized, and then live your life faithfully, even unto death, that is the way and the only way you are going to get into heaven. If there's anything we could do to help you become a Christian, we ask that you call the number which is available. And don't have to wait until Sunday or Wednesday to show up and to be baptized if that is your desire. An opportunity does not come along very often for you to do what is right. We ask that you repent. Stand boldly for the truth, abiding your teachings, abiding the teachings of the Word, and always to do what's right. We ask that you take the opportunity to call the number that you see on the screen or come down and visit us at 8th Street Church of Christ. We're there on Sundays and Wednesday evenings. Give us an opportunity to help you to understand the scriptures, to teach you what it means to be a Christian, to help you align your life with the gospel so that you might become a Christian and added to the body of Christ, so that on the day of judgment you can stand firmly and say, what you have done is according to the will of God, and that Jesus will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of my Lord. We pray that you will do what is right, and if we can help you in any way, we ask that you ask us questions, because we are there to answer your questions and ask, I should say, demand book, chapter, and verse for the things that we say and the things that we do according to the scriptures. This has been another edition of Bible Truths.